All right, as they're making their way out, go ahead and take your Bibles and go to Psalm 117 this morning, Psalm 117. And when you find your place there, go ahead and stand, Psalm 117. We got two verses this morning we're going to read. Just like to share with you, I'm just these last several months through our conference last week and even before that, I'm just reminded of how much the Lord loves me and I love Him. And lately I can't say anything other than praise our Lord because He's so good. No matter what circumstance of life I'm in, He's always there and He's good. Psalm 117, again reading verse 1. O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people, for His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for this day You've given to us. We thank You that we have a Savior, we have a Lord that we can come to in times of discouragement, in times of joy, no matter what situation we're going through, we can come to You. And Father, we can be remembered of all that You've done for us. The fact that we can look out and we can see the glory of God and the landscape and the trees and the mountains and the seas and everything that we can see, we can praise You for. We can praise You this morning for Your Word that You've given to us and the fact that You've given us something that would teach us and help us and guide us to know You in a greater way. We praise You this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ. For without Him, there would be no reason to be here this morning. And Father, we just thank You so much for all that You've given to us and how You desire to love us and You have a desire for us to be with You. We thank You this morning. We praise You. Father, have Your way today in our lives. Help us to look to You and remember You for all that You've done. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated. As we look at this, there's some words in here. We think about this song we just sang, Hallelujah, 'tis done. And when you look up that Hebrew word, hallelujah, you know what it means? It says, praise be to the Lord, or praise the Lord. So whenever we're singing this song, we're saying, praise the Lord, it is done, right? And so that's so exciting to think about this word, hallelujah. The hallel part is the praise, and the Jah, J-A-H, is the Lord. And so when we see our psalm this morning, there are three times the word praise is mentioned. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people, for His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Is done. You know, it's amazing when we think about that, how God has, over the years, has done so much for us. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we get in the daily business of life, and we forget that the Lord's there, and He's doing so much for us. You know, He wants to hear from the very smallest thing going into our lives to those big things that come crushing down upon us. It's a practice we get into, a practice of giving God the glory, no matter what the situation. You hit your hammer with a thumb. Praise ye the Lord. Now, that's not natural, is it? But I'll tell you, I'm learning that's what we're to respond with. To be thankful to the Lord for whatever comes in my life. There's a purpose for me hitting my thumb. I don't know what it is, but yet, or whatever. But there are reasons for it. I remember when I was drilling my finger. I don't normally drill my finger, but I did this one day, still numb. I think the nerves are out. We were putting up this snow fence on the roof, and I was going through and setting all the bolts with the drill. And you go forward. I was going forward fast and backward. I was going forward slow and backwards fast. Well, you know how it is when you're doing however many of these things I did. And I got to the point where I was supposed to be backing one out, and I had it on forward, and so I went fast. And about the time I realized it, my finger was stuck up against that little clamp there, and I'm sitting there going, thank you, Lord. And I'm sitting there drilling it back out because I couldn't get my finger out. And I thought, well, you know, there's a reason for this. And maybe it's for me to wake up and pay attention to what I'm doing. I don't know. But we can praise the Lord for anything. He's there for us. He loves us and He guides us. And he wants us to know that. David, when he was, after he had killed Goliath, many years later, Goliath had four sons, and they were waiting to avenge their father's death in 2 Samuel, or brothers, I think it was, in 2 Samuel. And David, men took care of those giants. And David's response to that was a song of deliverance. Listen to what he said in the first four verses in 2 Samuel 22, 1 through 4. It says, "And David spake unto the Lord these words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies, out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." He is worthy to be praised today. And as we think about this, I hope that in your heart you realize that maybe this morning you got up and you read the Bible and you prayed and you had the opportunity to praise God for what was going on. He wants to hear from us. We're His children. We're His people. Of course, our text explains some more to us, and we'll get to that. This morning, I want to preach a message I've entitled, "Praise is Comely." It doesn't come from this passage. It actually comes from two other passages, but I just want to share that with you. Praise is comely. The word comely, C-O-M-E-L-Y. And so as you're taking notes, if you are, there's 4 points. The obligatory of praise, the object of our praise, the occasion of our praise, an offering of our praise. Let me share those with you again if you're taking notes. And I want to encourage you to take notes. I took notes last week. I got all his messages. I haven't listened to him, but I can sit there and I know what he taught. And it's amazing how much I can remember because I took those notes and went back and went through those. So it is important. If you wanted to get something out of this message, it would be good to take notes, take it home, look it over again. But again, number one, the obligatory of praise, the object of our praise, occasion of our praise, and offer of our praise. So here we see, as I mentioned, 3 times the word praise is used in this passage. It's only 17 words, and 3 of those are praise. That's amazing when you think about it. That means praise is important. And of course, we discussed that that word praise means hallah, and then the Lord, and the last Lord, when the bottom it says praise ye Lord, that word Lord is Jah, which means Lord. It is the root of Jehovah, which the first word up there, praise the Lord, is Jehovah. So it's hallelujah, which means praise the Lord. And it's a primitive root, and it really talks about to shine. Hallelujah means to make a show, to boast. So when we're praising the Lord, what are we doing? We're boasting of His goodness. We're boasting of His kindness, of His mercy, of His deliverance, of His love, of all that He does in our lives, how He works, and how He guides us and directs us. We should never get over that. Salvation is not happens and then everything's done. The rest of your life, we have the opportunity to thank God and praise Him for all that He allows into our lives. This is what the psalmist is saying to us this morning. He's sharing his heart. He's sharing what we should do. That second word, praise, if you see it, 2 of those words, praise, means hallah. That second one, where it says, praise Him, all ye people, that's another Hebrew word, and it means to address in a loud tone. It says there, praise Him, all ye people, or speak loudly, all ye people. To who? To the Lord. To the Lord. When we come to church on Sunday mornings and Wednesdays, we sing the songs and we share those. We're not singing those as a performance. We're singing those because we love the Lord. We're singing those to the Lord. We're praising Him for what He's done and how He's worked in our lives. And that's why we do that. In Webster's 1828 dictionary, it defines the verb praise as to commend, to applaud, to express approbation of personal worth or actions, to extol in words or song, to magnify, to glorify on account of perfections or excellent works, to express gratitude for personal favors, to do honor to display the excellent of. That's what praise means. Praise is not by invitation. Praise is commanded. God praises us, or commands us to praise Him. Turn to Psalm 148. That's not far away. Just look over there for a second. A couple of weeks ago, I was reading through that passage again, and just listen to what it has to say. It's talking about praising, and this is a commandment to us and to everything that's listed here. In Psalm 148, if you have your Bibles there, let's just look down through here. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His host." So His host, I believe that's talking about us as Christians. And it's talking about the angels. So we're all to praise Him. Look at verse 3. "Praise ye Him, sun, moon," it says, "praise Him, all ye stars of light." When I look up into the heavens declare the glory of God. They praise the Lord. And when you look at those things, you can be reminded of that. And you can look to those things and say, "Thank you, Lord, for the sun. Thank you for the moon. Thank you for the stars. Thank you for all that you've given to us." Look what he says. He says, "Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters, that ye be above the heavens." He says, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons, and all ye deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy and fulfilling His word." That reminds me that God is in control. God is in control what goes on in the weather. God is in control what happens in our lives. He knows all about it. He's the one who gives us the snow and gives us the hail and gives us the wind and gives us the light that we have. He says, verse 9, "Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men," raise my hand, "and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalted the horn of His people." Amen. "Pray the praise of all His saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto Him. Praise ye the Lord." I think He pretty much covered everything. Do you not? He said everybody's supposed to praise Him. The Israelites, the children or the saints of God, and everything else that's in this world is to praise God. And they do. As you look out and you see it from His perspective, how people look at things and how people see things in that negative connotation of thinking that this is bad or whatever. But God made these things for us. And He made them so we would understand who He is. That He is the Almighty. That He is the all-powerful God that is in heaven. And yet He knows every hair that is on our head today. And He loves us that much. Yes, we do go through times of distress and discouragement. What do we do? I like what Pastor Surrett taught us. I think it was in chapter 6, maybe it was in 10, where he talked about that disappointment or distress, disappointment, discouragement, and then leading to depression. He said, Job knew what to do. He said, "Teach me, O Lord." And that's where we have to go. That's how we combat the depression and all that's going on, is going back to the Lord and casting our care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us. He loves us. In every aspect, He cares for us. Yes, He wants to guide and direct us because we are His sheep. But He still loves us. Even the shepherd sometimes would have to break the leg of a sheep to keep him in line. Now, I'm not hoping He's doing that to anybody. But sometimes God has to bring us back. Why? Because He loves us so much. Praise Him for who He is. And praise is comely. In Psalm 33:1, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." The upright, speaking of those that are just. The upright are those that are His children, really. And that word comely means suitable or beautiful. Praise is suitable or beautiful to God. He wants to hear from that. What are we supposed to do? Why are we here? It's to give God the glory. And that's what we do when we praise Him. That's what we do when we come to Him and we are reminded that everything that's happening in my life, everything that I am doing, I can go to God and I can still praise Him. Yes, when I step out and go the wrong direction and He guides me back to the right direction, I can praise Him. It's amazing lately as I've been reading the Word of God, and so often I'll come to a passage and right there I just start up and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this." It might be just one verse. It might be a whole passage. But God is telling me something, and He's teaching me something, and He's reminding me something. And you know how I got that? In the Word of God. God is speaking to me, and He's showing me. If you want to know what God wants you to do and how to live, go to the Word of God. And there you can find Him. And when you find Him, you can praise Him for what He does. In Psalm 147, it says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely." There's that word again. That's the only two verses it's used in. So God is speaking of His children. It's also pleasant and good to God that we praise Him. So what is the object of our praise? You know, whatever we hold in high esteem, that's what we're going to praise. If you hold your football team in high esteem, that's what you're going to praise. Well, I don't have much to praise anybody about my football team, but whatever you look at, whatever you idolize, whatever you worship, that's what you're going to praise. And it will be relevant in the time you spend doing that thing. There's where your worship is. If you were to go through and look at your calendar and you mark down through your day what you're spending your time to, that becomes your idol. So it's important that we pray without ceasing, that we communicate with God continually, letting Him know. Why? Because there are things that we do that we have to do during the day, but we don't leave God out of it. I was told one time by a lady who was married to a pastor, and I was talking to this, I might have told you this already. But anyway, she told me, she said to me, she says, "My husband says we don't mix business and religion. I said, "Ma'am, if you're a Christian, that's the most important thing. It ought to be the hub of your life, and everything else ought to be surrounded by that. Your choices ought to be determined by who you are in Christ, not the other way around. Christ is your all and in all." She didn't understand that. So God desires our praise. Turn to Psalm 107 for a second. Psalm 107. I want you to look over there, and I want you to just look at several verses here. I'm going to just mention these, because it says it. In fact, I'll just read it, and I'll tell you what verse is in. Psalm 107, 8, 15, 21, 31, it says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men." What that psalmist is saying is, oh, that Bruce would praise the Lord for His goodness. Oh, that Bruce would be reminded that God is on the throne of his life, and it is God that is providing and meeting the needs. It's God that's given us this breath that we have. It's God that has given to us everything. And we can praise Him for that. Look at verse 40 in Psalm 107. It says, "He poureth contempt upon princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth He the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock." Excuse me. "The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." Even in difficult situations, we can praise our God. You know, God made you and me for a purpose. That purpose is to glorify Him, to do His good pleasure. In Philippians 2:13, Paul writes, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Now, we could read that the way I practice that. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do your own good pleasure." But that's not what it says. It says to do His pleasure. And so often I get that out of line and I do what I want to do instead of what God wants me to do. And He's trying to teach me. Revelation 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." God created me for His pleasure. And how does He get pleasure in me? By looking to Him, praising Him, and following Him. That's what he wants in my life, is to know that he is God and he's the God of my life. And that's what he wants for each one of us. Isaiah 43:7, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. That's what God is doing in our lives today. It's coming to God on bended knee and with outstretched hands. It's an act of humbling ourselves to the Almighty God. It's a demonstration of our love. William Scroggie wrote this. He said, the Lord only is to be adored and without degree or limit. In other words, all the time, continually. Paul wrote this in Hebrews 13, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 13, verse 15, he says, by him, Jesus, he says, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So I'm not saying you walk down the street and you're going, praise God, praise God, praise God. I just want to praise God. Hey, praise God. How about that? Praise God, praise God. Just, no. But inside my heart and inside my mind, I'm walking down the street saying, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. It's always there before me. Why? Because of all he's done in my life. It ought to come out. And yes, it ought to come through our lips. There ought to be times of praising the Lord, giving testimony in the workplace, wherever you are. You ought to be talking about the Lord if he's first in your life. Right? I mean, what else do we talk about? There's lots of things we talk about. We don't talk about the Lord sometimes. I know I don't. And that's what's important, is that we have him on our lips and we're ready to give a reason. Like when the doctor came in and told us about John's situation, I couldn't help myself. Praise the Lord. You have to say it. You have to share it. You can't hold back. It's because we do praise him. So the object of our praise, but what about the occasion of our praise? And there's a lot of things. In our passage in Psalm 117, he tells us two things here, and there are more. In our passage, he said, oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. So two things he gives us right here. The mercy that God has for us, and also the truth. We have it right now, this morning. If you have one of these in your hand, you're looking at the truth. You have God's Word. Can you praise God for having the Word of God in your hand? Yes, we can. Are we too? Yes. The truth will never change. Men will change. People will change. People will come to it and try to change it. But it is what it is, as they say today. It is the truth. And nothing will move it. It is settled in heaven forever, the Bible says, and the psalmist writes. So what is our occasion? Mercy. 2 Chronicles 20:21 says, and when they had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And that's true, isn't it? His mercy endureth forever. Look at Psalm 118, verse 1. The very next passage says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. You know what this is saying? It's saying that same thing we always say. God is good. His mercy endureth forever. All the time. All the time. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget when you are so discouraged and you're so beaten down, there's always God. And he's there, right there. All you have to do is go to him. No, you don't have to get up out of your chair. You don't have to get off your knees. You can just say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need some help and guidance here. Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, you do. You know exactly what direction, what steps, where I should be. Lord, would you help me? And you know what? He promises that he will do it. He will do it. Because you can cast your burden upon him, because he'll sustain you, he says in Psalm 66. So here we see his mercy. Mercy is God not giving to us what we deserve. Too many people today think that God is not merciful. Why? Because he's not giving me everything I want. He's not giving to me those things I think I need. He's not blessing me with lots of money and lots of cars and lots of land or even good health. God's not merciful. But I want to tell you something. That person has no understanding what they deserve. They think they deserve more. God says you deserve hell, period. That's it. End of statement. Dr. Charette said those words. He said, no matter how bad it gets here on this earth, it's not nearly as bad as hell. No matter what. No matter what struggle you're going through, no matter what difficulty, this is not nearly as bad as hell. I like what one preacher said one time. For the Christian, this is hell. Because this is the worst it gets. Because we're going to go to heaven and be with God. But for the lost, this is their heaven. Because this is the best it gets for them. Think about that. I'm glad this is not my heaven. Amen? I'm glad there's a better place, and I'm glad I accepted Christ as my Savior. That's what the mercy of God has done. The mercy of God teaches us there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible teaches us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We understand our position. Romans 5:12 tells us why. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It's not your fault you're a sinner. It's Adam's fault. You're just stuck in that situation. That's who you are by nature. You cannot change that. The only one that can change that is God Himself. And He did that, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son in this world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. He that believeth on the Son is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. I think I might have missed some words there. But that's what God has done for us. It's His mercy. He did that for us. Truth. In Psalm 85:10 says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Mercy without truth would be powerless. Powerless. Truth without mercy would be harsh. And I know how that is. I've experienced that in my own life. Where mercy and truth have met together, we have peace and righteousness. Isn't that what we want? We want that peace and righteousness that only God can give us. And so we can praise Him for that. Praise Him for what He's done. We have God's promises and His fulfillment of them. And let me stand here today and be so bold as to say that what God promises will come to fruition. What God says will happen. The choices are whether we are going to get in that path or not. Because just because things happen to us that we think the Bible says shouldn't happen to us, often it's because we've made some wrong choices, took some wrong steps, got waylaid in a different direction. It's not God. It's me who's failed. It's me who needs to get right with God. We can praise Him for His majesty. I'm amazed at His majesty and what He's done in our lives. In Psalm 111, in verse 1, I think I've already read part of this, but let me just read the two verses. It says, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. That's a testimony. Testimony of what God's doing in your life. Even though you're struggling, you can still trust God. Even though things don't seem so good, you can still look to God and say, He's still good. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. It's God who is majestic. Isaiah 24:14 writes, they shall lift up their voice, they shall sing for the majesty of the Lord, they shall cry aloud from the sea. That's praising God because of His majesty. You know, when you think about the sea, I love going to the sea. I'm a sailor anyway, and I love being out on the ocean. There are times when it wasn't so fun and times when it was a lot of fun. But nonetheless, regardless of the situation, God's majesty is revealed in the sea. In the times it is calm and the beautiful sunsets, especially when you go down to Puerto Rico and the Bahamas and those islands down there where you can see all the way to the bottom, 30 feet down. And you can say, oh, this is what the Lord has done. But then the times when it's rough, when you're in the Baltic and you can't stand up because you're being slung against the sides of the ship, so you go get in your rack and you tie yourself down and hang on. God is showing His majesty in that. All that He does, He's majestic. He is the Most High, Psalm 92:8. But Thou, Lord, art the Most High forevermore. And He is the only God, John 17:3. John pins these words and it says, "And this is life eternal, that they may know Thee, only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent." Jesus Christ is that God. And there is no one like God. Isaiah 46:9 reminds us, he says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." No other idol that you worship will ever be or take the place of God. It can't. There's no way. We've all heard of comfort food, or maybe there's a comfort activity or something that you do or you really like to do and you really love that or whatever. Well, be reminded that God has provided those things. There's a balance to those things, obviously. But those will never give you what God can give you. That peace and righteousness, that mercy and grace, that love, that strength. We can praise Him for His glory. Psalm 138:5, "Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord." Great is the glory of the Lord. You know, this is all the time on this earth is really the time that we're transitioning into what's going to take place one day when we meet Jesus. This is the time when we learn how to live the holy life, learn how to be conformed to the image of Christ, because one day the very things the Word of God is telling us now are the things that we're going to really understand and recognize when we see Jesus. I doubt if I'll be thinking about the Dallas Cowboys ever again when I see Jesus. Probably won't happen. The Patriots, I don't know if they're going to be mentioned in heaven. I don't think so. I don't think any of that's going to be up there. The things that we spend our time dwelling on today, there'll be no sawmills up there, guys. Can I hear some amens for that? You don't have to worry about that anymore. There's going to be a lot of things that aren't up there. And so now is the time we get to transition in this lifetime to be closer to the Lord and to glorify Him for what He's done. He's done wonderful works in our lives. Psalm 152 we read this morning, "Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him for His salvation." Luke chapter 1, verse 68 through 69 says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and redeemed His people. He hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David." Praise the Lord. His faithfulness to us. Isaiah 25:1, "O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." We can praise Him for His truth. We can praise Him for His faithfulness. You know, different things I've gone in my life, and I'm not always where I should be. I'm not always in the right mindset. But when I am, I experience God's greatness. It's like I tell folks, and I hope this is your practice, no matter what comes into your life, the first step is to go to God. Right away. Now you're saying, "I'm bleeding to death." Hey, when the ambulance comes, you're praying to God, okay? Pray. Ask Him what? Ask Him for comfort of heart. Ask Him for His strength. Ask Him for His guidance. Ask Him to set the right people in place. I can't reiterate that enough. Because God wants to hear from us. He wants to know that we're dependent on Him making these choices for us. Because we don't know who that person that's going to minister to us. I don't know about you, but I've done a lot of things in my life. Jack of all trades, master of none. And a lot of things I've messed up over the years. And if I think of the doctors, are they not people? Are they not human? Can they mess up? You better believe it. But if God's got His hand in that, He can guide them and direct them. And that's why it's important for us as the people of God to trust God to choose those right and help us to make those decisions. And He will do that if we'll go to Him and ask Him. He is faithful. His goodness, we've already read Psalm 18:1. The wisdom that He gives us, the holiness. Moses said in a song in Exodus 15:11, "Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods?" You know what the answer is, the rhetorical is, no one, right? He says, "Who is like Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" And of course, Moses was making the statement, there's no one, no one. We can praise Him for His excellency. Psalm 148:13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. There's a lot of occasions to praise the Lord, are there not? No matter what the situation we're in, no matter where we're at, whether it's driving down the road to Farmington, whether it's in an ambulance riding to the hospital, whether it's your last breath, you can praise God as Christians, because to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Oh, how I long to see my Savior face to face. Paul had that same struggle, didn't he? He asked the Lord whether it be better that I stay or go. He was caught in betwixt of those two things. And he realized it was better for him to be here, because that's what the Lord decided for him. It's the same for all of us. We have lots to praise the Lord about. Then the offer of our praise. Who is to offer praise? Well, look at our text again in Psalm 117. It's pretty clear that it's everybody. And of course, in Psalm 148, it's everything. He says here, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations." That word nation, if you look it up in the Hebrew, that word is translated into Gentiles. That's what, when you see nation in the Bible, most often it means the Gentiles. Because Israel is different than the Gentiles, right? So that's what it's saying here. It's saying, praise the Lord, Gentiles. It says that. And it says right after that, praise Him, all you people. So it's all these nations, it's all these people. That word people really means a collection or a community of people. It is everyone. Isaiah 45:23, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Everybody's going to praise the Lord. We have choices when we do it. We can do it today, or we can skip it and do it when we see Him in a place we don't want to see Him. That is the great white throne. Every knee will bow. In fact, Paul used that verse when he wrote in Romans 14:11 and Philippians 2:10. He says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God." It was true in the Old Testament. It's true in the New Testament. It's true, period. How are we to do this? How are we to offer the praise? Well, we to do it in understanding. In Psalm 47:7 says, "For God is the King of all earth. Sing ye praises with understanding." Where does understanding come from? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And somebody help me out. Is understanding? Yes. Thank you. There's a bubble there. And this is knowing who God is. It talks about that relationship. To praise with understanding is to experience God in a personal way. How do I know God in a personal way? First, it's salvation. From then on, it's looking to the Word of God and asking God to show me, to reveal Himself to me. And He tells me if I seek Him early, He will reveal Himself to me. But if I don't seek Him, I'll never see Him. Why? Because here's where you find Him. You find Him in a Christian's life who's serving God and knows what the Word of God says. You'll see it there. It's there for us. That's why it's important for us to live the Christian life, that we might show others who don't know. David praised God with his soul in Psalm 103:1. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." In Psalm 91:9, it says, "I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works." With my whole heart, I shall praise Thee. Boy, that speaks that there's a lot of praising going on. I hope that's the children of God. I hope that's what we're practicing. I know I haven't. And I'm coming to the conclusion that I must do this. Why? Because it's commanded that I'm to praise God for all these things that He's done in my life and all that who He is, having understanding of what He's done. In Psalm 35:18 says, "And I will give Thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise Thee among much people." When's the last time you were somewhere and you praised God openly? Amongst the people you were around? maybe in the church service. When's the last time you said, I want to praise God for what He's done? Maybe you're going through a difficult time. I'm going through a difficult time, but I've been searching the Scriptures and God has given me something. I want to praise Him. Why do we do that? Besides, we're commanded because it's what comes out of the heart. Right? That's where our heart is. Our heart is with the Lord. Our heart is putting Him first in our lives and wanting to live for Him. We're to do it with joyful lips. Psalm 63:5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. Boy, sometimes you're not too joyful. You know what I mean? There are times I can really not joyful at all. And then when I'm reminded, well, you know what? You got something to praise. God is still on the throne in your life. You just need to look to Him and let Him restore that joy in your life. Because no matter what situation, I'm not talking about happiness. I'm talking about joy. Jesus went to the cross for the joy that was set before Him. I can raise my hand because that's the joy He went for. That joy of suffering and pain and agony He did for me. And so for anything that I live on this life, there should be joy because of God in my life. Is He real? Is He real in my life? My lips will declare it. He shouted for joy. He sang praises, talking about David. He did it continually in Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. This morning I am reminded that we have a lot to praise the Lord about. Psalm 33:1 I read already. It says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. That word comely means suitable. It is suitable for me to praise Him. In fact, it's commanded that I should. I should do it continually. I should do it with my mouth. I should do it with my life. I should be reminded, sickness and health, no matter what I'm going through, God is on the throne in my life. And the worst thing, which is not really the worst thing at all, is that I'll be with my Savior. And then I will praise Him all the time. Luke chapter 6, verse 45, we'll close with this verse. It says, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Is God abundantly in your heart today? God knows, I don't. But as best we can, that's what we want to do. And sometimes it requires a humbling of ourselves. It always requires a humbling, let me put it that way. Because if God is on the throne, we're always humble to that. But we also ought to be humble to each other as well. Whatever God spoke to you today, you act upon. Maybe you haven't been praising God like you should. Maybe there's something you need to just get right with God about that. There's nothing wrong with coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, I've not been doing what Your Word tells me. And I need some help with this. I need my heart to be right. I need to trust You and believe what Your Word says and to follow and act upon it. Help me, Lord, to do so. I'm making a commitment today that I am going to try the best I can to put You where You should be in my life. And it's nothing wrong with asking Him to help us, because that's why He's there. Because I can't do it, and you can't without Him. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You so much. When I think about You, and I have a lot been lately, but all the things that You've done and all the things that You've given, and how You've given me the Word to help straighten me out at times, and other times just confirm that I'm doing the right thing, and how You sent Jesus to die for me, and how that You wanted a relationship with me, a sinner, someone who didn't care for the things of God. And how You kept speaking to me over the years, reminding me that I was lost, and I need to put my faith and trust in you. I just thank you so much. Thank you for my family and how you've protected them over the years. I thank you for our church family, how you guide and direct in their lives. I thank you for this church who's withstood the time of, or the test of time for these last 40 years. Father, I just want to praise you this morning and thank you for all you've done. Help us always to be mindful that you are a great and mighty God, and yet you still care for me and us. We pray these things in Jesus' name.